The rookie class of the Green Bay Packers hits the practice field today on Friday to discuss rookie minicamp and the players the Packers are bringing in for tryouts. We bring on Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about rookie minicamp taking place this weekend. To do that, you heard him on our special edition of Railbird Central on Saturday, and now you're hearing him for his usual engagement the first Friday of every month. He's Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog.
Expert interview.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm fantastic, Brian. Thanks for having me on once again, man. Good to speak with you.
No problem. This is pretty much our first and only opportunity to discuss the players the Packers are bringing in for tryouts. Obviously, we cater to the hardcore football fan here. This probably being the only podcast you'll hear discussing tryout players. But first, some background here, if you could hang with me for 1 second, Scott. Rookie orientation began yesterday on Thursday with players arriving, attending meetings, going through physicals, getting that stuff out of the way, and then they hit the practice field today, the first of two straight days of practice. It'll include the draft picks, the undrafted free agents the Packers signed, and then an unlimited number of players the team's bringing in for tryouts. It's interesting. Typically, the Packers leave a roster spot or two open to the tryout players, always signing at least one or two of them every year. This year, however, the Packers are already up to the 90 maximum players after signing all the undrafted free agents. That being said, usually one of the players signed as undrafted free agents is usually cut before the weekend is over, either because he failed a physical or they just thought after 1 weekend, this guy doesn't have what it takes to make it in the NFL. So we're going to talk about some of the tryout players. We'll discuss some of the undrafted free agents a little bit later. But Scott, let's start with the only Packers tryout player to, or one of the few at least, to play in an all-star game. Dale Pearson from Iowa State. He's Iowa State's single-season sack record holder. He played in the NFL PA Bowl. What did you see from him there?
You know, I see Pearson as a solid tryout player. I studied him thoroughly in that NFL PA Bowl game. And oddly enough, I also had his game versus Oklahoma State on tape, which is one of my favorite college football games of the 2015 season. So I got a second look, and really the only reason I kept that game was because of Emmanuel Ogba's play. But, you know, with respect to Pearson, you know, both times I watched him, I saw sort of the same guy. He's disciplined and he's aware. Really, he plays on his toes. He uses his feet really, really well, and he plays with good balance. It's always interesting because really statistically, he's one of the best defensive players in the history of Iowa State football on the defensive side of the ball. But with that said, you know, he's not overly littered with an abundance of moves. He mostly wins with effort, and he's one of those maximum effort guys. He's going to try to outpace the tackle on the edge with his speed and give you a low shoulder dip, if you will. And then the other thing that really caught my eye with him, and this was really on display in the NFL PA Bowl, is he played with great hustle. You know, he just in the run game, there was a couple of times it was almost like a read option, and You know, he would have embarrassed the way Eric Walden, with his ability to stay true to form and to really keep his eyes on the football and to not bite on the fake, which I thought was very impressive. You know, but the biggest thing about him is we have to remember that while there's enough to sort of appetize your palate as far as being excited about a guy like him coming into camp, the reality is he's very limited. And if he doesn't win the edge with speed, he's going to get swallowed. And if the tackle does get his hands on him, he's simply not going to win the play, is what I saw from, you know, the two games that I saw. But still, you know, it's always exciting when a young player, enters camp this time of year, and it's the type of player that dominated a premier conference in college football. And Pearson was clearly an impact player at that level.
It's interesting. I admit I have not watched Dale Pearson play. I mean, to sit and watch him specifically. But when I saw he was Iowa State's single season sack record holder, I took a double take because he had 8.5 sacks, which is nice, which is nothing against Dale Pearson. It stupefied me. Like, that's the highest number of sacks an Iowa State player's had in the history of the program. 8.5 sacks in a season. I guess that says more about Iowa State and their kind of, you know, they're always the bottom of the barrel of the Big 12. But anyway here, Scott, safety RJ Williamson. He's coming into Packers rookie minicamp on a tryout basis, pending a physical. He broke his arm in the East-West Shrine game in the practices leading up to the game, so he never actually played. But this guy might have been, had that not happened, he may have been like the top tryout player the Packers have. He may have even gotten drafted. How much do you think that hurts him and his chances of earning a roster spot?
You know, and I agree. I definitely think he would have been drafted had he not had that broken arm. And it's also noteworthy that he hurt his bicep and missed most of his senior year. But, you know, I don't see him as necessarily a guy that is injury prone. I really don't. I mean, he had interceptions in all 4 years of his college career. And the biggest thing about him, if there's one player who enters Titletown USA this weekend as a tryout player, who has a legitimate shot at making the 53-man roster, for my eye, it's Williamson. You know, there's an opening on this roster spot, I think, in the secondary. And, he plays the ball in the air well. I love the way he attacks the line of scrimmage. He plays with physicality. He plays with intensity. You don't play for 4 years in that Michigan State defense if you aren't bringing heart and fight to the field every single game. You know, so with that said, I think he's going to be a guy that definitely makes it through the weekend and finds a way to the 90-man roster. I'll be disappointed if he doesn't, quite frankly. I think he'd bring an added mean streak to the secondary. He'd complement Quentin Dix. Not putting the cart before the horse, but his style of play would complement Quentin Dix. And I was really enthused to see him, you know, added to this list of tryout players. And yes, I'm one of those degenerates that gets into the tryout players, which is why it might be apt timing for us to be speaking here. But, I really like his game. He's one of those people that will really come up to the line of scrimmage and play with the physicality and play with intensity. And I agree with you. If he wouldn't have gotten hurt, not only prior to the East-West game, but in the Senior Bowl game, I had seen some reports back in October where, you know, they were writing, you know, who were potential, you know, All-American names, and his name was on the list early in the year. So it was really too bad for his sake that he got injured when he did, because his senior year was off to a great start.
Yeah, I had saw the report from MLive.com. That's who said he'll be trying out with the Packers pending a physical. So who knows? I mean, if you don't see about him or hear about him on the practice field today, maybe it's because he didn't pass it. So there's kind of some things left undone here, and we're not getting the full list of tryout players yet. But let's continue on about the ones we know here, Scott. Northern Michigan offensive lineman Kyle Stuck. He's a local kid, a Green Bay native, or maybe he played at De Pere, but, you know, bordering Green Bay right across the river. He played all five positions on the offensive line in college. How much do you think that helps him?
Well, a lot, and there's no doubt about it. But, you know, before going to that, one of the things that I would say is really exciting about what the Packers do this time of year. They really do a good job of generating attention by bringing in local kids this time of year. You know, it's not only do they have Stu coming from with Green Bay ties, I guess you could say, but Peter Mortel is also from Green Bay, and Mitch Garvin is coming from Wisconsin Lutheran for a tryout. And, you know, I know it's a sidebar, but I love how the Packers keep the local community involved. It just shows that, you know, that they're paying attention and protecting their image of the Green Bay way in a small conservative community, which, you know, I think is a real thing that that continues to keep them in the limelight and to draw interest in you know, the local newspapers and whatnot. But with regards to Stu, there's no doubt that his ability to play five positions clearly gives him a competitive edge. If you look at the Packer roster over the last, you know, maybe not as much last year, but just, well, you know, over recent years, they've tried to create positions on the roster or create roster spots for other positions by keeping versatile linemen and oftentimes keeping one or two less linemen than you'd normally say. So, you know, is he going to make a run to the 53-man roster? Very, very doubtful, especially with the players that are going to be coming into, a camp as is, and the, they're returning everybody from last year. Spent two draft picks on the offensive line. But if he has a good weekend, his versatility could allow him to earn a spot in the 90-man roster, and he could be one of those players that that bumps one of the undrafted players out of the off the roster.
Let's talk about the quarterback position a little bit. Obviously, just a position that gets, you know, more attention than anybody else on the football field because they're the leader and they lead the show. They lead the charge. Former Rutgers quarterback Gary Nova is getting a tryout this weekend. Do you think he stands a chance after the Packers reportedly signed Joe Callahan as an undrafted free agent out of Wesley College, a Division III program? So interesting player there too.
No doubt about it, man. It's it's going to be a really interesting facet to watch what the Packers do at the quarterback position this preseason. And I think Gary Nova has a shot of taking on one of those roster spots as well in the 90-man roster. And it's going to be interesting to see how many people that they keep. Obviously, the Packers are playing five preseason games this year. And you'd have to imagine that with all the injuries that we saw in the preseason last year and with Aaron Rodgers' clear-cut love for the preseason, he's unlikely to see very many snaps this year. So, I'm curious to see a couple of things. And as my mind wanders to wondrous Packer places, if you will, I think, how many snaps is Brett Hundley? First and foremost, I guess, how many snaps is Hundley going to get in the preseason? And then, are they going to simply hand him the games, or is he going to be the just generally speaking, like, is he going to be used like the number one quarterback is typically used, where maybe he's playing the first half and then they're going to rotate players into the second half? But if they're going to be doing it that way, well, then you need to have four arms to, in camp to be able to keep Rodgers' arm fresh, right? And you can't run Hundley into the ground. You need to have him able to be a presence in case anything should happen to Aaron Rodgers. So, you got five quarterbacks in camp right now. Rodgers and Hundley are clearly on the roster. But then you got Ryan Williams, the kid from Miami. And then you've also got Callahan and Nova, who you'd have to imagine that those three guys are on somewhat level ground entering the weekend, headed into earning potentially two roster spots.
Yeah. All right. One more question about the tryout players here. German wide receiver Moritz Boehringer, if I'm pronouncing that correct, he got a lot of attention in the run-up to the NFL draft, actually being selected by the rival Minnesota Vikings. And the Packers are reportedly actually bringing in his teammate for a tryout, Patrick Donahue, even though he played in the United States. He actually played college football at Southern Oregon. Is this, Scott, a signal that scouting international players is becoming a thing in the NFL or a bigger thing, actually?
You know, there's no doubt that the NFL as a whole has really, focused its raising its awareness surrounding American football throughout the world. I mean, you see Jim Plunkett in California, in Mexico announcing a draft pick. You know, we got games in Europe. We're talking games in Mexico. We're talking games in China. And with that said, as the game continues to earn awareness, you'd have to think that the NFL is going to be stealing a page out of, you know, Major League Baseball and the NBA to try and attract talent around the globe. And, you know, I'm going to be curious to see how players like Boehringer and Donahue, who's, you know, entering camp for the Packers this weekend, are able to adjust to the speed and, more importantly, the precision timing that is incorporated in the NFL. You know, and there's no doubt that you're going to continue to see people internationally enter the league. In my mind, it'll likely be, I would think, from a more natural transition for maybe people to come on the line or at linebacker or safety or positions of pursuit. Seems like it would be maybe a more natural transition for me. When you're watching guys like Boehringer, after the amount of attention to the NFL Network gave him this past weekend, you'd think that they draft Pro Bowler, right? What the heck? But I get that it's a cool thing, but they really blew that thing up. But what I'm going to be interested in is, you know, when you're – it's such a precision game in the NFL. And if you round off a route or if you cut off your route a yard deep or a yard short, the pass is going to be incomplete or it's going to be worse. It could be intercepted and taken back for a touchdown. So not a lot of time for training on the job at a wide receiver position. And one of the things that really caught my eye, and I think it's going to be an interesting case study, is the Packers had Boehringer in camp. And by all reports, he was impressive. But in the fifth round, the Packers had a shot to grab him, or they had a shot to grab Trevor Davis, and the Packers chose Trevor Davis. So one thing that will be an interesting follow is to see how their careers match up. And naturally, I think, as seeing that Boehringer went to a division rival, it'll be fair to compare.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Scott, now that we've talked about the tryout players, let's discuss some of the undrafted free agents the Packers signed. Given your connections to the city of Miami, having lived there, I know you've been watching wide receiver Herb Taylor for years. So what are the Packers getting in a player like Taylor?
It's Herb Waters, I guess. All good, man. All good. Herb Waters is just another indication of what's been wrong with the Miami Hurricanes football program over the last decade. They have so much talent that comes through that program, and either they're not utilized properly or they simply don't develop. And if you watched Waters as a sophomore, he appeared to be on the brink of becoming an All-American player. He really did. He showed an ability to stretch the field. He was dangerous after the catch. He was a reliable target, and he was a team-first player. He was the type of guy that you really, you know, I'm a fan of the Canes. He was a guy that you really cheered for. He looked like he might be the next guy in a long line of great wide receivers at the U. And then Stephen Morris graduated, and Stephen Morris wasn't even that great of a collegiate player, but he graduated, and they brought in Brad Kaya, came in as a freshman, and Kaya's going to have a good collegiate career, but he just simply wasn't the solution in helping a wide receiver develop at the back end of his career. So in short, when I look at Waters, I see a talented all-around wide receiver who wasn't put in a great position to be successful at the collegiate level over the last couple of years of his career. I'd be surprised if he doesn't turn into an intriguing addition in the 90-man roster. And he's the type of guy that could grab some hype. He could grab some hype making plays during the preseason, and it wouldn't shock me if we're reading reports of him making plays throughout training camp this summer.
Excited to watch him. Scott, I want to get your favorite player, your favorite undrafted
players the Packers signed on both offense and defense. So let's start with the defensive side of the football. Which player stands out to you and you think has the most potential?
It's a great question, Brian. You know, one of the things that, you know, I talk to a lot of people about after the draft, as I'm sure you do, and you may hear some of the same stuff that that I'm hearing, where people scratching their heads saying, boy, did the Packers really get better over draft weekend? I mean, do we have guys that can make plays in 2016? And I think that question is asked or pondered, because the Packers didn't add a three-down inside linebacker. They didn't add any playmakers at the flash position. What's most exciting to me is the Packers went beefy in the draft, and they went on, and they went absolutely athletic in undrafted free agency. You know, again, being one of those degenerates who follows this type of stuff just ridiculously close, I look at a guy like Tyler Cooter, and I think he's going to be a great training camp body, right? He's going to be a guy that's going to bring competition to the offensive line, uses his hands well. Is he going to make a push for the 53-man roster? No. But he's going to fight every single day at practice. Reggie Gilbert was a good signing. You know, he's got one of those Nick Perry-type bodies. He's going to play the run well. He'll generate some pass rush in the pack in the preseason. You know, Boniquez Brown is a guy that he should have stayed in college for it. I don't know. I'm not sure what he was thinking. But he'd have benefited from another year of college. But he's going to come in, and he's going to compete for a spot for the 53-man roster, in my opinion. And I'd be surprised if, in a worst-case scenario, he's not in the practice squad. He's not fleet of foot, but he's certainly a guy that can come in and play in a base defense on first and second down. McKinton Dorlian was a solid addition as well. He played in the NFL PA Bowl. He's going to bring tremendous swagger to the secondary, without a doubt. He's quick. He has attitude. He's loaded with confidence. And when his teammates are making plays, he's quick to celebrate with. Kentrell Bryce was another name that I like to see come through. He's going to come in and compete. I'll say that he plays a bit small. He's quick. Don't necessarily love his size when he's in pad, but he's willing to help out when he's in the run game, and he's capable of covering the slot. Looks like he might be a leader as well that his teammates respect. But with all of that said, Brian, the guy that I'm most excited on the defensive side of the ball for as an undrafted free agent is Josh Hawkins. And I think back to when I kind of started to watch a little bit of East Carolina football, roughly 2008, quarterback by, I think, Patrick Pinckney, and they had C.J. Wilson and Linval Joseph on the defensive line, Skip Holtz as a coach, and I liked their style of play, and the ECU kind of caught my attention, and I've tried to watch them, you know, play at least a game or two a year every year, and then I fell in love with Justin Hardy last year. I saw him as a Ted Thompson style of wide receiver, and while I was watching East Carolina, And I saw him play a number of times in 2014. It was consistent that I saw Hawkins making plays. I think he finished with like 5 interceptions or so that year. And then this year, frankly, ECU was so bad. I tried to tune in a couple of times, and they were tough to watch. And Hawkins kind of fell off my radar. I kind of beat myself up a little bit about it after the Packers signed him, I will admit. But with Hawkins, you're going to find somebody that can play football, man. He's great with the ball in front of him. He breaks well on slants and on out routes. To me, he looks like he can also play on the outside. Well, he's a natural in the slot, but I do think he doesn't necessarily have ideal height. I think he's 5'10 or 5'10 and a half, and you'd like somebody to be 5'11, 5'11 and a half, when they're playing on the outside and running down the perimeter. But Hawkins has a 40 or a 40 and a half inch vertical leap. He runs a 4.39 40. So, you know, he's the type of guy that you really get excited for in camp. I actually tweeted out to him. I can't remember if it was last night or this morning, but I'm pulling for him this weekend, man.
Yeah, for sure. To get on my small soapbox here, it's a shame that East Carolina ever fired Ruffin McNeil from the head coach job there. I know that has nothing to do with the Packers, but this is the only soapbox I get, so I'm going to just take a chance.
Sound
to
off,
say
man. Yeah. Sound off.
Okay. We talked about defense. Now, Scott, your favorite undrafted free agent on the offensive side of the football for the Green Bay Packers?
You know, two guys kind of, you have looking, for, I got my eye on, and one of them is Geronimo Allison, big body. Played in the All-Star games after the season. Really a willing blocker. Runs a nice deep slant in route, if you will. Cuts well in and out of his breaks. Does have questionable hands. Looks like a guy that could potentially be a practice squad player this year if he can learn to catch the ball cleanly and could develop into something, down the line. But you know, the guy that I think that could really make a run to this 53-man roster is Don Jackson. Plays with great vision. Love the way he plants and he goes. He's got good hands. He takes the ball up the field, and he's really quick with his decision making, which I find to be exciting. The Packers have needed a change of pace back, a scat back of sorts, and I think Jackson could be that type of back for the Packers. One other guy that is a tryout player that looks like he's going to be there this weekend is that Savone Higgins Huggins from Northern Iowa. Interesting name, transfer from Rutgers. Runs with a strong cut. Really emphasizes his plant foot and takes off. Hits the hole with a solid burst. He's quick, a tough runner. Doesn't shy away from contact, and he has the skills in the screen game. So, he too could be one of those names that, we see pushing to make the 90-man roster this weekend.
Yeah, interesting. You're high on the kid from Nevada, talking to Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus on the Wednesday episode. He didn't like him whatsoever. Not saying you're right, he's wrong, or vice versa, but it'll be interesting to watch him to see, these differing opinions. I'm glad we get him that, some people like him, some people don't, and we'll see how it plays out. Scott, there's only one direction to go. Who's your favorite special teams player the Packers signed as an undrafted?
Well, you got to have the kid from Green Bay,
Does he have a chance? I mean, he only competing against one player. So, I mean, there's a legitimate chance Peter Mortel makes the 53-man roster.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Mortel has Packer ties. He actually went to the same high school I did, which, makes it attractive to cheer for. His dad has worked for the Packers, right? So there's a lot of excitement pulling for this kid. There's no doubt about it. So I'm going to be cheering for Mortel and hope that he has a big weekend this weekend and that momentum can carry into a discussion about what's going to happen at the punter position over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Maste, does he have a solid grip on his job?
I definitely think that there's room for improvement there. And Maste, boy, 2010, he was absolutely terrific for the Packers. And ever since then, he's just, we've kind of waited to try and get him back. And at big moments in postseason games over the last couple of years, Maste hasn't shown up. And we've lost him as a weapon. So, you'd think he's the favorite, but, I don't know what his money looks like as far as guarantees are concerned. But if this is going to be an opportunity for the Packers to be able to save $500,000 to $700,000 or more, and you look at the Packers only having $5 million and change in cap room available, well, if you can add 10% of your money to add availability of 10% to your money, that might make some sense. And I haven't studied the dollars and cents piece of that puzzle yet, but that would be an interesting thing to look into.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Scott, it's going to be fun. Rookie minicamp takes place this weekend. Thanks for talking to us this morning. As always, appreciate your insight, and we'll talk to you again.
Always a treat, Brian. Go Pack Go, man.
Go Pack Go. Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
The Green Bay Packers yesterday on Thursday signed fifth round draft choice Trevor Davis. It's certainly not like the old days where players used to sign just before training camp. The rest of the dominoes are going to fall shortly here. Davis just being the first player to sign. You have to imagine that they probably, you know, the guys who picked in the later rounds more than likely kind of, you know, sign first. So you have to imagine you'll hear about Kyle Murphy, the sixth round draft choice, signing soon. And, you know, maybe it takes the longest with the first round draft choice to sign because, you know, there's a little bit of negotiating room with guaranteed money, things there like that. So Kenny Clark may be the last to sign, but still, it's not like he's going to hold out or anything. They've got that all negotiated out with the last collective bargaining agreement between the NFL and the players union. So you'll hear about the rest of the rookies signing shortly, but yeah, it became official yesterday, Trevor Davis signing his contract with the Green Bay Packers. And as far as the undrafted free agents go, the Green Bay Press Gazette also reports that the Packers have signed offensive lineman Jacob Flores from Dartmouth as an undrafted free agent. So I believe he makes the 21st undrafted rookie the Packers signed. And this is as big of an undrafted rookie class I've ever seen the Packers sign. 21 of them total. And again, like I said, you know, sometimes these things don't come to fruition because it's possible one or two of them doesn't pass a physical, or at the end of the weekend, they cut the player already. So there's things that happen here in this little window the Packers have, this weekend-long window where you might hear of one player, you know, or two players possibly not being signed that you expected them to, and one of these tryout players may take their place. We'll learn all about more about that this weekend here, and that leads us into the next segment.
The day ahead.
So what happened? I explained it already. Orientation basically took place last night, Thursday night. Players hit the practice field Friday and Saturday. So only 2 days of practice and pretty much rookies only here with some notable exceptions. You're going to see the draft choices, the undrafted free agents, the tryout players. And then just to round things out, to give you know, full squads out there and kind of lead the way, the Packers have some of the veterans, like players who were on the roster last year on the practice squad, but never played in like a regular season game. So guys like, let's see, offensive lineman Matt Rotherham will probably be there, or quarterback Ryan Williams, who they signed last, you know, in the offseason. He was technically a rookie last year. What his first year of eligibility was last year. So he'll probably be practicing. Guys like that. So not just the guys who have been drafted or signed in the past week or so, but the guys who have never played in an actual regular season game before. Some of those guys will be around as well. I've tried to put together the best list I can possibly can of some of the tryout players. And again, you know, this is based upon reports. It's not a complete list. The Packers don't publish it prior to sometime today. There will be a list of all the tryout players, probably when they actually hit the field. And the Packers don't publicize it before then because, again, some of these guys they bring in won't pass a physical, and then they just leave them off the list, and they don't want to, you know, draw attention to that. But, you know, here's some of the tryout players I found from various reports, and I'm not going to list all the outlets, but, you know, this is not my own reporting, I guess is what I'm saying. But Brigham Young defensive lineman Graham Rowley, Rutgers quarterback Gary Nova, Northern Iowa running back Savon Huggins, Georgia Tech running back Broderick Snoddy, Southern Oregon wide receiver Patrick Donahue, who played in Germany, Wisconsin Lutheran wide receiver Mitch Scarbin, Duke offensive lineman Lucas Patrick, Slippery Rock linebacker Corey Tucker, Iowa defensive end Dale Pearson, Northern Michigan offensive lineman Kyle Stuck, Elon defensive back Julius Moore, Western Carolina offensive lineman Josh Winneberg, Michigan State safety R.J. Williamson, Tulsa defensive lineman Derek Lutgen, Newberry College fullback Alstavis Squirewell, Harvard linebacker Jacob Lindsay, and Fresno State running back Martez Waller. So there you go. That's who I have as the Packers bringing in for tryouts. There will be a few more. You'll see that list probably later today. Look for the beat reporters that cover the Packers. They'll probably tweet it out or share it on social media or whatever. But there you go. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers, who they're bringing in, practice taking place this weekend. We'll find out by the end of the weekend. You know, usually Sunday, Monday, you hear about the trio players the Packers signed. If they sign one or two, we'll find out who they are. But yeah, so interesting. Seeing these guys in a green and gold uniform for the first time, it'll be excited, you know, excited to see that video that'll emerge from practice today. Just, you know, even if they're not doing much, just to see these guys in green and gold is cool for the first time. And we'll talk about it more on the next episode of Railbird Central on Monday. I've already got the guest all lined up. We're going to have Marcus Eversole of WDUZ in Green Bay on the show. We've had Marcus on before, but he's going to be covering rookie minicamp for WDUZ. So he's going to be there. He's going to see these guys up close, and we're going to ask him about them on Monday. So we're excited to talk to Marcus then. But that'll do it for today's show of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Scott McKenna, the Talkin' Smack blog, for joining us. Follow him at BuzzBoy3 on Twitter. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, I encourage you to go to iTunes and give us a rating and a review. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid and do that, just go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star review. We'd really greatly appreciate it because it helps people find this show. We'll see you, folks. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the Kentucky Derby Saturday. And I know Aaron Rodgers is going to be in attendance as usual, so you can look for him on the television screen as well. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pack. Go. Dreidel.